Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am." Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's just so beautiful. Lord, it just is such an amazing book which brings such strength to our lives. Lord God, it is the very guide that we can live by. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you would speak to us today. Holy Spirit, open our ears and open our eyes. Father, we want to see you. We want to know you more, and we want to grow in all that you are, Father God, that we may become mature in you, to bring you all the glory and all the praise. So Lord, speak through me, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this morning we are carrying on with the Names of God series. And I am preaching on Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, as we heard in Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. And I don't, recently in Thrive, I've been helping out in Thrive recently, and we had a quiz night, and we did a Zoom quiz. We couldn't get together physically, but we had a quiz night, and we had a couple of very fun moments. I want to just show a little slide. Maybe Matt could put that up. This is a couple of the people that you have to guess who they are. One of the quiz rounds was guess who they were when they were children. I wonder if you could guess with me who these are. These are all leaders. I made sure I chose the leaders of the group. But I wonder if you can see who they are. There's one very attractive young man there, if that might be a hint. But I wonder if I could show maybe... on the top left, that is our wonderful Peter Valance. Maybe we could show the next slide, Matthew. And then we have Trevor Woodgate in the middle. who is on his rocking horse, looking very cool. I must say, Peter Valance, I love the napkin on the head. It's a very good fashion. Maybe you are ahead of your time with COVID-19. Maybe it should be on our head and not our nose. And then obviously the strapping young lad on the right is yours truly. And so we had a great time just enjoying some moments, laughing and seeing different people's photos. But actually, it was also a really hard quiz. I was like seriously struggling, and Drew and Erica, our quiz masters, were just wicked. They just did a really hard job. It was great fun, but it was really, really challenging. And you'll never guess who won. Yep, it was Will and Tracy. I'm not saying, but I think potentially Google may have been involved, but they did say that they won, so we won't hold it against them. But it was genuinely a hard test. It was genuinely a struggle. I went for a fun quiz and I found myself back at school, which was rather odd. But you know, everyone goes through tests in their lives. We go through tests in school, primary, secondary, A-level, university. We have driving tests, health tests. I did a fitness test a couple of weeks back with the Body Project. And let's just say I'm not very Body Project fit. I didn't do too well in that test, unfortunately. But we all face tests. And I wonder this morning, what test are you facing today? Maybe you are actually in physical school tests, or maybe you're going through some exams, like our brother Joe going for his sergeant exam, or maybe you are doing John Wick's and you're testing your body each and every day. Or maybe, just maybe, COVID-19 is bringing the test really at its peak to you. Maybe it's testing your patience with your children. Maybe it's testing your finances and where you are financially and for the future. And maybe it's testing your faith and you're actually asking the question, where is God? And it's testing the very core of who you are. And Abraham was no alien to tests. He was an amazing character, and I love Abraham in the Bible. You know, he started having tests by God at the age of 75 years old. He went through tests of relocation, where he had to move his family from place to place. He went through sorrow, where he'd lost and had people die in his family. He had economic collapse around him, where there was famine and he was surrounded by the challenge and had to run to Egypt for help. He was tested with success and wealth when he was offered Solomon's wealth, but he refused it. Sodom's wealth, sorry. And he was also tested in a fatherhood way, because he couldn't have children, and he was tested to have faith that God could provide a child for him and Sarah. He was no alien to tests. And now at the age of well over 100, we can see that God is testing him again. Warren Wiersbe says, "We are never too old to face new challenges, fight new battles, and learn new truths. When we stop learning, we stop growing. And when we stop growing, we stop living." You know, sometimes tests are just in the very core of our life, and they come at the most unexpected times, a bit like the quiz, which I thought was going to be a great fun, and then it was just felt like I was back in a school exam. Sometimes life can face you like that, and those tests that come towards you don't feel like fun, but they feel like a lot of hard work. James 1 verse 2-4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Count it all joy. Do we count it all joy when everything around us is crumbling, when the very things that we hold on to seem to be falling apart? I wonder if we can count it all joy, but that's what the Word of God tells us to do. And we can see from this story, as we delve into Genesis 22, that is very much the testament of Abraham. Even through it all, he counted it all as joy. And so our first point is the greatest test. We see in verse 1 and 2, it says, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. This was no ordinary test. God had tested or allowed tests to come to Abraham in the past, but this was one which was bigger than anyone could imagine. And this test was not to produce faith in Abraham, but it was to reveal Abraham's faith in God already. Because God had already been working on his faith day by day, year by year, and strengthening him. With every test, Abraham got stronger and stronger. And we can ask God, why did you allow a test to come his way? Why? We don't understand. But God does it to prove our character. He allows sometimes tests to come our way so that we can become stronger. We can become maturer in him. And I wonder whether actually, just like Abraham, whether the test that we're receiving now, COVID-19, if this had come 10 or 15 years ago, can you imagine how much more challenging this test would be? You would be using dial-up internet, which would just be horrific to join Zoom. There wouldn't be Zoom. There wouldn't be mobile phones that you could quickly log on. You would have to use your flip phone and send a message during church. It would be much harder if COVID-19 had come then. But God had proven that actually now was the time that maybe we don't know why it's come, and we're not saying that God has sent it, but God allowed it to be here. And he's seeing, are we able to continue on during this testing time? I think that in this moment of Abraham's life, it was like a series of EastEnders or Coronation Street. I'm sure it was a big drama. This big test had come, and it was, if you were in EastEnders, if this story was in EastEnders, it would have such high ratings. People would die for this kind of stuff. And I want you to consider for a moment the test that Abraham was asked. Isaac was the miracle child. Abraham and Isaac couldn't have a child, and God had promised them that they would have a child. And he even said in Genesis 21, verse 12, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. So God promised that he would be a father to many. And Isaac was the fulfillment of that promise, that Isaac would continue to carry on that lineage and see those many descendants to come. Isaac was loved dearly by Abraham and Isaac, their only son in many regards. And I'm sure when God said those words, it felt like a dagger each time into Abraham's heart. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, offer him there as a burnt offering. And it must have felt really hard for Abraham, because it almost seems like a contradiction to God's promise that he made to him. It would seem that Abraham was asked to kill the very promise that God had given him. And sometimes that's how it can feel when tests come our way. It can feel like God is not actually true to his word. And it can feel like, God, why? Why are you allowing this to happen? If you're a God of love, why is this happening? And as a father, I put myself in his shoes and I think, I don't know if I could even receive what God told Abraham in that moment. As a father, I think of my beautiful baby, Olivia, and I think, if God told me to do that, I think I would say, right, God, we're done. We're over. This can't work. I can't do that. I physically can't do that. If it was me, I would run the other direction. I'd probably be angry or frustrated. And as a parent now, I can't even imagine being asked to do such a hard thing. But there's a quote from Warren Wiersbe that says, our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, do what seems unreasonable, and expect what seems impossible. At this time, Abraham had to hold on to only God, because that's all he had left. Abraham had the ultimate test. And then as we read on in the passage, we see that it's the greatest response that we can begin to imagine. If we go to our next point, point two, the greatest response. It says in verse three, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Can you imagine? You've just received possibly the biggest instruction from God and the greatest challenge you could ever imagine. But it's the very next verse, it says, early the next morning. No hesitation, no question, no if, no but, no maybe. Abraham woke up early the next morning and he did what God had called him to. An immediate response in faith and obedience. And I wonder whether actually Abraham probably didn't sleep very much that morning. I'm sure as he was sleeping, he was thinking, if I stay around for breakfast, how am I going to say that to my wife that I have to go kill my son? It's not really breakfast talk for most people. And so maybe just he wanted to slip out early, but I think it was more a step of faith that he was proving himself that he had to go and do what God had called him to do. I know for me, sometimes in Burundi, I would come back very late. Sometimes I would say I'd be coming back at 8 o'clock, but we were working late into the night, fixing stage, getting ready for Christmas and other such things. And I would come back at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. And when you've got political tension and unrest, it's probably not the best time to travel. And so I would try and slip in because I knew that the peace probably wasn't best pleased. And so I would slip in and in the morning I would slip out and try and avoid any confrontation or wanting to try and explain myself. And I wonder whether that was probably Abraham. But maybe he was, just as it says in the word, a real man of faith. And I'm sure Abraham, he couldn't really hold on to much else, but he knew that, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we live by faith and not by sight. Abraham himself woke up early, he loaded his donkey, and he set off. He cut enough wood himself. He had servants and other people to do it, but as an act of obedience and worship to God, he said, no, let me do that. I want to do this as a sign of my obedience. And as we read on in verse 4, we see that they carried on for 3 days. They walked and they finally reached the place. And he said to his servant, stay here with me, with the donkey, while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. I don't know about you, but that verse just blows my mind. I mean, first of all, it says they traveled for 3 days. Can you imagine? You're traveling 3 days with the knowledge that you are going to sacrifice your child. You're going to do something that no man would ever dream or imagine to have to do. If that was me, in those 3 days, I would be in another country, in another destination. I would have legged it as fast as I could. We see that Abraham was focused and he was faithful and he trusted God and he obeyed him in such a beautiful way. And as he said to his servants, wait here, as Isaac and I, we will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham, this is the very first time we see the word worship in the Bible, and it means to bow down. It means to offer everything. And I'm sure at that point, Abraham knew that word just too well. But what is so beautiful is the words where he said, we will come back to you. When, to me, I can't understand that. Faith is beyond belief. And why did he say that? Because he knew that if he had to go through with this, he knew that if he had to kill his son, that God would resurrect him. And we don't see any sign of resurrection in the Bible until then. But as Hebrew 11 says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again And in that sense, Abraham did receive his son back again. It is amazing to think that Abraham had that faith and that obedience. And as we read on in verses 6 to 8, we see that they finally get to the mountain, and Abraham and Isaac, they get up and they go on, and Abraham builds the altar ready, and he takes the knife and he takes the fire in his hand. And as he builds the altar, he prepares the altar and he gets it ready. And Isaac says to him, and Isaac says, "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And again, in faith, Abraham says, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Abraham, carrying the very weapons that were about to kill his son, the fire and the knife. If that was me, I wouldn't have carried them. I would have hid them. I would have thrown them away. But in that moment, he held on to the promise that God had given him. And he said in faith, "God will provide." He had faith to believe that God is faithful to his word and he's able to do what he said. And sometimes when we are in a testing time, we need to continue to obey God. We need to stand firm in the faith that God has told us to stand upon in Ephesians 6. And we need to proclaim his promises, believing that he is faithful in every circumstance and situation. And then we see in verse 9 that when they finally reached the place, he built an altar. He bound his son and he laid his son on the altar on top of the wood. What a picture that he could physically bind his son. And his son was not a little baby. His son was a teenager potentially, or a young man. So easily could overpower a gentleman in his over 100 years old. But Isaac surrendered himself and he allowed his father to bind him up and to lay him on the altar. And ready in that moment to be killed and to be sacrificed. Can you imagine the tension? Can you imagine the pain of the whole thing? And I'm sure in those times, Abraham was holding on to the fact that Genesis 18, verse 14 says, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" Or maybe Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." In that moment, as we see, Abraham goes and he lifts the knife and he's ready to kill his only son as an act of worship to God. He had the greatest response. And lastly, we see the greatest provision. In verses 11 and to 13, we can see the story unfold. And as we see that story unfold, we know that I love the beginning of verse 11 where it says, "but." But is such an amazing word. As Abraham took the knife up and was about to slay his son, there was a but. And sometimes in our lives, we have those "but God" moments where God intervenes in the hardest times and he can bring change. And it says, "But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.'" Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket just before him was a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mount of the Lord, it will be provided." You know, sometimes in those moments, God sometimes waits to the very last second, as Abraham was ready to plunge that dagger into his son. But God intervened. And I don't know if you notice the way in which God provides. Where did he provide? He provided where God had called Abraham to be. He also provided not early. He didn't provide a moment too early. He didn't provide a moment too late. He provided just on time, because God is never late. He's always on time. And how did he provide? Well, actually, he provided in the most natural and easy way. Abraham just looked his eye, took his eyes up from the altar and saw the lamb before him caught in the bushes. God made a very natural way to provide for Abraham. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord who sees, or the Lord who will see to it. Jehovah Jireh will provide. And you know, as we carry on, as we continue, we can see that God saw to Abraham's need. He provided for him. But actually, you know, we can see something so much greater. That God not only provided for Abraham, but this whole story was a foretelling of what God was going to do for creation, what God was going to do for every single person on the earth. He is able to supply the smallest needs for you today. But this very story foretells of Jesus, God giving his only son as a sacrifice so that you and me can be free from sin and have eternity with God in heaven. Just as God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, God was promising that he would offer his son as a sacrifice to cover all sin, all guilt, all shame, and to give us a place in glory with him. Jehovah Jireh, the greatest provider. He doesn't only supply the small needs, but he supplies everything. He supplies life and life in abundance. Romans 8:31-32 says, "For God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" My God, your God, is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. As he provided for Abraham, he's providing for you. Whatever you're facing this morning, if you're facing lack, if you're facing challenges, and you need breakthrough, our God will provide. He is faithful. Let's just pray this morning as the worship team get ready. Lord God, we thank you that you are faithful. Lord, we can't begin to understand how you could offer your son as a living sacrifice for our sins. Father, that when we were so far away from you, Lord God, we are all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But Lord, in your provision and in your goodness, O God, you are able to provide in supernatural ways. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you provided your son to take the sins of the world and give us eternity with you, Lord Jesus. So Lord, I pray right now, Father, that if there is anyone who's listening today and they are going through challenges and struggles, Father, I pray that they would know Jehovah Jireh, their provider. And Lord, if there is anyone here that doesn't know you, Father, I pray that they would accept that you are Lord Jesus above it all. You died for them and that you rose again to set them free. And Lord, I pray that they would come to know you as a reason, as a result of your word. Lord God, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.